what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steele and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. You got the device over there, the device in question,
yes.
Shelley, because right off the bat, Panama City, son, looks like you are so busted. Florida. A 17-year-old student is accused of stealing a school bus from his school and taking it for a joyride, swerving on and off city roads and almost crashing head-on into another vehicle. Lynn Haven, Florida cops said, not only did he leave school without permission, he stole the bus and drove it away. The bus appeared to come to a stop, but the wheels on the bus kept going round and round. Isn't there a nursery song like that?
I was about to steal your thunder there.
Until it crashed into a mailbox, officer said. The teen headed to the rear of the bus and hid under the seat, forcing cops to drag him out by his ankle, records show. While in custody and talking to his dad, officers overheard the teen fess up to swiping something else, according to his arrest affidavit. Now he'll watch the wheels of justice go round and round. Want to let you know, of course, the Dark 30 hours brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, 298-5402, 298-5402. Of course, that's in the 828 area code. Wright's Coin Shop, that's the place to go to buy and sell and swap and collect and all that kind of good stuff. Shelley, how is business?
Booming. Absolutely booming. It's crazy over there. They're buying and selling and running out of stuff and restocking, and it's just crazy.
It's a great looking place. If you've never been into Wright's Coin Shop, it's like a little museum. You guys got the display cases laid out and the light shine. Everything's sparkly and shiny in there. I think, it would drive you crazy if you just like to see stuff shimmer and shine. That place is like a showroom.
Oh,
really,
it's
it is.
So much fun. It is, and it's the oldest coin shop in Western North Carolina.
Yeah, and there are people who remember growing up with Wright's Coin Shop out there on Tunnel Road. It's time for them to get back down to the quote-unquote new, because you've been down there for a couple years now, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, Asheville. 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, that's Wright's Coin Shop, and that's exit 51 off Interstate 40 and a couple miles out.
Just to satiate my curiosity,
yes,
where did it used to be on Tunnel Road?
It was in the Kmart shopping center right
across from the Asheville Mall. I was right next to my barber shop.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right in that little strip facing back towards Kmart.
I recall that. And right. I remember the move. Oh, okay. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, the Pizza Hut used to
yes,
be down in the corner.
It did.
There.
Oh,
you man. Know that one well, don't you?
I know that parking lot well.
Oh, goodness. This one, ready again, bam. St. Petersburg, Florida Police Department says they are on the lookout for a dude who stole nearly $400 worth of deodorant and body wash from a CVS. The store's manager is probably in a lather over this five-finger discount. The cymbal crash.
I didn't
pretty
mean
nice.
To hit the mic stand.
That worked, though. The spring gave you that cymbal effect, didn't it? The man allegedly stuffed the products into a duffel bag and made a clean getaway. Come on. Officers with a nose for crime are hoping someone drops the dime on the suspect, who would most likely pass the smell test. Are they starting to force these a little bit? Employees say, when the man walked past them before he left, he did indeed smell very good. Sadly, the video taken in the store is very bad. $400 worth of deodorant and body wash. That
$400 worth of deodorant.
That, yeah, he ought to be set for a while. Hmm. This one, kind of from the Hollywood history files, Judy Garland. Okay, now this is the headline. Now, I can't vouch for this. Judy Garland was sexually harassed by munchkins on the set of Wizard of Oz, her ex-husband claims.
Hmm.
Judy Garland was immortalized as she happily skipped down the yellow brick road with the munchkins in one of the most beloved movies of all time, The Wizard of Oz. However, her ex-husband claims that in real life, the then-teenage actress was tormented by the munchkins and was repeatedly sexually harassed by them on the set. They would make Judy's life miserable on set by putting their hands under her dress and grabbing her breasts.
How'd they reach up there?
men were 40 or more years old, he wrote in a new posthumous memoir titled Judy and I, My Life with Judy Garland. They thought they could get away with anything because they were so small, he said. They were just horrible little deviants who would expose themselves, and it was just all around dreadful.
Gobble, gobble, we accept you, we accept you, one of us.
Garland married tour manager, producer, the author of the bio that reveals this information, Sid Luft. He was her third husband. They married June 1952 and had two children together before their divorce in 1965. The actress was 17 when The Wizard of Oz was released in 1939 and discussed the munchkin actor's bad behavior in a 1967 interview with Jack Parr. They were little drunks. They got smashed every night, and they picked them up in butterfly nets, she said. While there have been repeated reports over the decades detailing the munchkins' rowdy drunken parties and alleged all engaged in orgies while they were filming The Wizard of Oz on Sony's Culver City lot, and they were also credited as destroying hotel rooms they were staying in during the filming. Judy and I, My Life with Judy Garland, is published by Chicago Review Press and currently available on Amazon.com. They had to dish a little bit. They had to dish a little dirt to plug their book. But I suppose there are some Judy Garland fans out there
I think I'd rather read a book about the exploits of the little people on the set of Wizard of Oz. And what really went on there, as opposed to Judy Garland's woes during the filming. It sounds...
I think maybe a bio from an autobiography by one of the little people would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll look that up.
I watched something that said the little people were treated terribly.
Yeah, back then in like the late 30s, and when you said the butterfly nut thing, I was like, well, back then that was probably just accepted practice.
They probably
That's how they rounded it. But I mean, you know, it was a different time, Vance, a different time.
Different time.
How about this service? A Japanese company will send instructors to your home to teach you how to be good at video games. Japan is always concerned about maximizing academic performance and knowledge acquisition, and so many people in the country are employed as tutors. These tutors are often called upon to provide their services in helping struggling students better understand subjects such as mathematics, foreign languages. But the Japanese internet is now buzzing about one company's plan to dispatch instructors to customers' homes to help them become better at video games. Wow. Udeal, a Tokyo-based company that offers a variety of internet video and video game production and PR services, recently announced its new Game Lesson venture. Just like the name says, Game Lesson provides customers with individualized one-on-one instruction in how to play popular video games. I think people who would avail themselves of that service just need to learn to socialize a little more. If I was at my house playing Pitfall on the Atari 2600 and had a hard time,
great game,
you know, I would get on the phone with my buddy that lived down the street and say, hey, can you get past this damn alligator pit here? Come on over and show me how it's done, son.
You just swing back and forth. and like you hit the button, he's like, ding.
Well, there's the one where you didn't have the vine. You had to jump on the back of their heads, and every time they opened their mouth, if you weren't standing right over their eyes, woo.
Remember
Pitfall.
Remember Wolfenstein?
Wolfenstein was amazing.
It was a game changer. I got a Duke Nukem. I haven't put it up on the Etsy site yet. Remember, I got a Duke Nukem action figure this week.
Let's go ahead and plug the Etsy site.
No, it's not yet. I mean, you can. My grandpa's name is Art. But I have been a little slack in updating it because I've been working nonstop. But I've been still procuring neat curios, if you would. My favorite cereal. but I just have not had any time to. I sent a text to Shelly with a picture of a very cool one.
Yes, you did.
X-Files, Mulder, Scully, and Attacking Alien. Ooh,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss the old 8-bit excitement of Activision on the Atari 2600.
Atari 2600 or was that?
Oh, they had them on the 2600. That's when I knew all the Activision games was on the 2600.
Okay, the Activision games. What was the console that had the weird controller that was like a circular pad? Was that Activision?
The built-in Intellivision. Yeah,
Intellivision
looked a little bit better. They had like a Dungeons and Dragons game, and Atlantis was pretty cool. There were like these aliens coming by. It was kind of like a fancier version of Missile Command.
That was pretty anyway, high tech.
It was good stuff.
We are old.
Yes, we'll leave it at
Shelly's
that.
Not
ready, Shelly.
Thank you.
Miami. It turns out that dentistry is so easy that anyone can do it. Sam, case in point, a 25-year-old man who used YouTube videos and dentistry magazines to hone his skills to the point where he was able to open his own dental clinic and perform various procedures. Instead of spending 6 years in dental school to pick up the necessary skills to become a licensed dentist, the man decided to take a different route. He learned all he needed to perform procedures like tooth extraction, teeth scaling, and placing braces by watching all kinds of video tutorials on YouTube and reading dentistry magazines. It's not clear exactly how much time he put into honing his skills, but he apparently became so confident in his abilities that at one point he opened his own unauthorized dental clinic. That's kind of like the dentistry's version of a pirate radio station, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can relate with the guy.
But you only practiced on yourself.
Yeah, but it really is. There's a reason that dentists have an assistant. Because you're trying to do this by yourself. You're standing up. Gravity is not your friend.
No.
It's like saliva, you know, it's all this stuff is happening. And it's like, I asked my friend, I was like, would you please just help me? And she's like, you don't want my dirty hands in your mouth. I'm like, I don't really care.
Well, that's going to wrap the first segment of Dark 30. Having fun yet? We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, it's the Dark 30 hour, so I cannot emphasize enough that if you are easily offended or if there are children listening, you might want to turn the channel, tune back in a few, because this is the hour where we deal with some pretty, well, yeah. Some of it's good-natured enough. Other moments are just downright nasty.
Lewd, crude, and socially unacceptable like yourself.
You've been warned. Hometown Pennsylvania, Florida was finally off the hook for once. A Pennsylvania volunteer fire company is turning to titillation to raise money. The hometown volunteer fire company in Schuylkill. Schuylkill, is that how they pronounce it? Schuylkill County? I've seen it. Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania is getting ready to host its second adults-only naughty bingo night. Hmm. Winners don't get money. Money is so boring. They get hot adult toys.
Interesting.
The first event last year drew a standing room crowd with people from several surrounding counties and even New Jersey. Hometown is a tiny village in Rush Township, about 70 miles northeast of Harrisburg. The next naughty bingo night this March will feature all kinds of sex toys. And the fire company is selling 160 tickets at $20 each. Do some math. I'd say that's a pretty good fundraiser. One firefighter says that people tire of the same old fundraisers, which typically rely on the same people to spend money. This event is designed to raise money from a larger, more diverse crowd. We get the best toys that money can buy, some worth thousands, and we bingo them off. Thousands. They're talking about chairs and, you know, maybe some gear that's...
Well, what I'm thinking is why it's probably so popular is not because, you know, like you might end up with a piece of gear worth thousands, but because it's in that element, it's socially acceptable. You're with your neighbors, you're with your friends, and it's like, oh, well, everybody probably...
It's for a good cause.
A lot of people feel like embarrassed or ashamed to maybe go to a store that specializes in that. But if you're doing it for the fire department and you're with, your neighbor Betty, then it's like, oh, well, it's just all in good fun. We're helping the fire department. But in reality, they might really just, you know, want to, they feel like it's cool.
That sounds all right, Shelley. Would you attend an adult fire department fundraiser?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Of course I would.
I think they're on to something.
Let's just state that Shelley would attend any fire department fundraiser because she has always been there for the fire department.
That's right.
Yes. She appreciates
You are a very charitable person. I get that from you. I think the listeners know
you don't
Shelley
need
well
to ply her with dildos. She's down with the fire department.
Oh, my goodness.
A
Minnesota police department threatened to force drunk drivers to watch Justin Bieber's T-Mobile Super Bowl commercial on their ride to jail. If that don't keep you from getting arrested. The Wyoming Police Department shared a tweet warning that anyone caught driving drunk following the big game would be treated to the T-Mobile commercial, which featured the Canadian pop star as a celebration expert. If you drive drunk tonight, we're going to subject you to that Justin Bieber commercial playing over and over all the way to jail, police wrote. The police department released a series of snarky Super Bowl-related tweets in the days following the game, including one poking fun at a Tostitos bag that acts as a breathalyzer. We didn't have any Tostitos legal defense instances, police said. I'm not sure I can even visualize that. You're out of your element here
because you did not watch the game, I'm assuming.
I did not.
Nor did I. And I didn't watch any of the commercials. And so I think you're out of your element, Donnie.
Wyoming Police Chief Paul, this gentleman who is police chief, told the Twin Cities Pioneer Press that the humorous nature of this might help keep people interested in public service announcements. It gets people to actually stop and read the message, he said. I can't argue with that.
Or, if you look at it this way, Wyoming's probably long distances between where you might be arrested and the police station.
Ooh,
and you would watch that thing on repeat. That could be like, a war crime. You might end up in The Hague or something.
A little bit like Chinese water torture, so that by the time you arrive...
Violation of international torture law.
By the time you make it back to the Absaroka County Sheriff's Department, then you're insane. A Good Samaritan was an unwitting getaway driver in a bank robbery. After offering a ride home to a man he met in a bar. The driver said he was just trying to help out the man when he expressed hesitation about driving after having a few drinks and didn't mind as the man asked if they could make a few stops on the way. He wanted to stop for cigarettes, wanted to check to make sure his car was okay, the driver recalled. But then he started commenting on the dollar store, liquor store. Now I'm thinking to myself, now that's kind of pushing it. He's running all these errands. A one stop the driver and his passenger did make was at Union Community Bank. And he had no idea as he waited outside that his passenger, later identified by police as a 50-year-old resident, was inside robbing the bank. And the passenger was charged Thursday with robbery, bomb threats, and theft. And the driver dropped the man off about a mile down the road at the Prospect Plaza Shopping Center, and the man said he was going to walk the rest of the way to his motel. As the driver headed home on Route 462, police vehicles raced past him, and he said, now I'm getting a funny feeling. And he saw the police turn into the shopping center, and he knew in his gut that something was bad wrong, and he turned around his vehicle and went back and talked to police, provided a description of his passenger, and he was apprehended a short time later at Columbia Family Restaurant. There's their plug.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea because, what do they say in, remember the Naked Gun? The best assassin is one that does not know he is an assassin. The best getaway driver for a bank robbery is one who does not know he has any part in
right,
a bank
no,
robbery.
No anxiety or nervousness about it. I just need to run in here and
cash a check,
do some banking, and
then at some point when your passenger, you know, is all out of breath and you know flies into the car and says go.
Well, your passenger's got to also maintain
something's up.
For this to be successful, he's got to maintain a level of, you know, if he's put that much thought into I'm going to get an unwitting participant to help me rob, then you would think that he would probably not be like, go!
Right.
Art, get right!
There was a prank show on MTV ages ago, and they, at Daytona Beach, they had a van that was painted up like, just like the hotel, motel shuttle or whatever like that, free shuttle back to your motel, and the guys driving the van would get people to hop in the back of the van while they're driving, you know, along the beach in Daytona, and then they would pull into the gas station, and a passenger would get out and go in, and when he would come back, he would come running back out with a pair of pantyhose pulled down over his head and a bag of cash and jump back in the van, and the people riding would just panic at that point, and they had the van door locked from the inside, so they're freaking out, and yeah, good fun, but be careful who you give a ride to, or who you ride with, for that matter.
Do you give, you're a driver, you know.
Right.
I would often pick up hitchhikers, homeless people on deliveries and stuff. And oftentimes I would find myself in some odd situations and odd places, and I'm like, what am I doing here? And, you know, but now as I'm older, I don't give rides as freely anymore. Maybe the times have changed, or I'm not as carefree, or
no. Here's my story on that note. I was at the motel, and I went up and knocked on the door, didn't get an answer, had left the car running like right there, but decided to run into the front desk and ask them if they could call the room, or, you know, check the register log or whatever like that. When I come out from the front desk, my car is gone.
Oh.
And then I remembered, as I was running around to the front desk, there was a guy that approached me in the parking lot and said, excuse me, could you give me a ride downtown? And I said, no.
I would always leave my car running, too.
So he gave himself a ride downtown. Luckily, my cousin came, gave me a ride, and we found it parked over off of Biltmore Avenue. He just needed a ride. He drove himself over there and parked my car. So, I was very lucky. He had rummaged for some change in the console, but nothing serious, man. It sure gave me a jump, though. Having your car stolen is no laughing matter. But now it is.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Dark 30 hour of Speaking of Strange. I'm Vance Pollock, your reluctant host for some of this unsavory material. And as Sam and Shelley will attest, I often blush when trying to struggle with some of these. I'm going to start out, give you a chance to chase the kids out of the room, and, you know, if you're easily offended, to dial in something more respectable. This one's all right, but this segment, it's going to nosedive, so be warned. In Ardmore, Oklahoma, Girl Scouts were trying to sell cookies on Saturday at a mall when they say a man walked up to them and asked for a strange exchange. Ardmore police arrested a 45-year-old man after he offered to trade vodka for Girl Scout cookies.
What's wrong with that?
He says it happened inside the mall. None of the Girl Scouts were hurt, but police say Swanson was so drunk he didn't even know what was going on. He didn't have anything to say about it, only he wanted a few Girl Scout cookies. And that was no crime, and he didn't even know what they were talking about. He was so unsteady on his feet that we basically had to place him in the police car as he was barely able to walk. Locals say they feel sick that little girls had to encounter this.
Nanny state.
These kids should feel safe here. They go trick-or-treating here. This is the way it should be. They should post up and sell cookies and not worry about people in the fear of creepy men.
In an unrelated topic, the Girl Scout cookies new flavor, vodka coconut, is a huge seller.
They say when they arrested the man, he wasn't carrying any bottles of alcohol but had a strong odor of alcohol on him. You shouldn't say things like that to underage kids anyway, even if you're joking, the officer added. So
probably true.
I mean, if he were dealing with the kid's parents, he could have, like, been discreet about it and been like, hey, Mom.
But as we were talking about during the break,
vodka,
sometimes
you
could be
cookies.
So inebriated that you don't remember anything. And so maybe he's like, I really want these Girl Scout cookies. I got some vodka.
I think it was harmless enough. Yeah. But yeah, inappropriate, but harmless. It started out like, where's this going? But then it typically,
he
was just being creepy.
I bet he didn't even get any cookies.
I bet he didn't even get any cookies. In the UK, a man has been banged up after he was hauled before the court for allegedly having sex with a sewer gate.
Ew. Oh.
The man was remanded in custody after he was allegedly seen fornicating with the drain cover in the middle of the day beside a main business area. The 33-year-old man denied indecent exposure, outraging public decency, and criminal damage relating to the incident. The man from East London appeared in court Monday, where he was remanded in custody to appear again next month. The judge told the man, there seems to have been enough witnesses to fill two courtrooms, but you will get your day in court to defend your not guilty plea.
However, sewage workers traumatized beyond belief.
They should be able to go about their sewering
hey,
without
Mike, look up.
Molestation. goodness.
What, do they make sewer grates out of some like different material over there or something? Some sort of vinyl?
And they made it sound like the fact that it was in the daytime in a business district was every bit as bad as doing it with a sewer grate.
Technically, if you think about it, though, I mean, it would just look like, to your average bystander, like a guy laying on the sidewalk.
Right. You just think manhole cover. Don't really the sewer, throwing the word sewer into the description.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
makes it more
distasteful. The naughty bits would be pointing down, is what I'm saying.
It just looks like he's reaching for his keys.
He's fallen.
I lost
and he can't
him.
Get up.
I'm just trying to fish my keys out of here, huh? Oh, my goodness. It all started last month when Chris grabbed a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos at work. After shaking, how to jump right into the story like that. I've been jumping headlines and just getting right into the story.
Do it again, but read it like you're a storyteller, an old mountain storyteller, like you're going to spin us a yarn.
It all started last month when Chris grabbed a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos at work. After shaking the cornmeal snacks onto a plate, he noticed that one of them looked nothing like a Cheeto. "Doesn't that look like a gorilla?" he asked a co-worker. "Yeah," his colleague replied without hesitation. "It looks like Harambe." Harambe, a Western? That's about as far as I can care. Harambe, a Western lowland silverback, made international headlines, of course, last May when Cincinnati Zoo officials shot and killed him to protect a child that fell. On a whim, Chris decided to sell the spicy find on eBay. His January 28th post featured side-by-side photographs of Harambe scaling a tree and the sodium-packed snack. In the item's description, he wrote, "Gorilla Hot Cheetos, rare, one-of-a-kind Cheetos, Harambe Gorilla," and started off the auction at $15. When no one was willing to bid, he dropped the selling price to $11.99. And the next morning, the 33-year-old man found a bevy of offers waiting. And by Tuesday, the bidding had reached $99,900, and the auction had ended.
Good for him. This whole thing
is crazy. It's really surreal. But does it mean that he'll actually collect? No.
No.
My friend, she was telling me about this story, and she's like, "Can you believe that? Like 90? I was like, "No, that's what it, quote, sold for. That's not what he's going to get for the Cheeto in question."
Mm-hmm.
They're just not going to pay.
Someone,
PayPal has changed their things on payment. Like, if somebody doesn't pay, they're not going to cover the 99 grand for the Cheeto.
Someone of our acquaintance once auctioned a alleged Bigfoot in a block of ice on eBay.
A whole Bigfoot or just a tiny?
Well, it was the reputed Bigfoot that had made news that year, and the bidding on that one got up into the 200 and I think like a $250,000 range. This is someone we know quite well and may even be someone who was intimate with the creation of this show.
God? Jesus?
Yes, it was Jesus who auctioned.
So he didn't get his
like
money.
That ministry song, "Jesus Built My Hot Rod." Yeah. Jesus auctioned my Bigfoot.
Yeah, that could be like your cover band version. Yeah, I'm in a ministry cover band that only focuses on Sasquatch-related issues.
Right, we just kind of do like ministry lampoons. Are you ready with the bell,
yes.
Shelley? A woman's story of sex at the Duval County Florida courthouse has generated headlines. That was a wonky-sounding bell.
Yeah.
Around the world after the tale went viral, courthouse administrators confirmed a graphic video of the sex act posted to a social media. Two social media took place in the hallway of the courthouse during business hours. The woman filming said that the live sex acts were performed on January 34th.
There's your problem right there.
Yeah, they were performed in an alternate universe. No, they were performed January 31st on the fourth floor of the courthouse. The video is too graphic to share, but was posted online by the woman who recorded the video, and a woman admitted she had done those things in the courthouse and posted the video via Twitter. And she has since taken down the video. A source said the person in the video may work at the courthouse, and officials said the person is not a courthouse administration employee, but may be part of courthouse security. The woman who sent the tweet with the video attached said, "Just found a way to get out of trouble. All you have to do is have sex with the bailiff, and you're off the hook."
Rusty?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Rusty the bailiff from the People's Court?
The media has not released any names because she's not facing charges in the incident. The woman in the video was in court for drug charges. So the woman posting to social media about the video saying, "That damn tongue got me in trouble again. LOL.
Wait. Wait. Hey, there we go.
Jeez. The Sheriff's Office Integrity Unit is investigating. I kind of like, I'm part of the Integrity Unit. And they're choosing just to pretend none of this had happened, as if it's too big a mess to even try to sort out. We do strongly ask the public to please refrain from having sex in the courthouse.
I was when you were saying that, I said Rusty the bailiff. I was like thinking how that would be like one of those things where you could be like, if you told me like, hey, you know, my uncle was Rusty the bailiff. I'd be like, wow, you know, that's crazy. I wouldn't think to question you. I'd probably believe you. In a Nashville twist, the Doug Llewellyn, I believe, lives around here.
Okay.
Yeah, People's Court.
Well, Rusty. We know Harry Stone lives around here.
Never seen him, though.
Don't know about Bull Shannon.
Bull, whatever happened to him?
I don't know.
Richard Mall.
Richard Mall trading sex with the...
Whoa, now you're alleged...
The bailiff in question in Florida was not...
Richard Mall.
Richard Mall.
For all of you people who watched TV in the 80s and got that reference, congratulations.
We've
got
to drop
Night
Court references here on the Dark 30 Hour. I've never run into Judge Harry Stone.
But he did. He bought the polar bear from the polar bar on Sweet and
Very cool.
It's on his front porch.
Really?
Very cool. And coming up after this break, the final segment of the Dark 30 Hour. And speaking of strange, maybe a drug story, maybe a little more naughtiness. So stay put, and we'll be right back. Offended, or if the little ones haven't gotten off to bed yet, do something about that. Do not listen further. You do want to, however, drop by sunshinesimple.com and get to know the best solar generator for the price. And it's, of course, drawn up by our own technicians at the behest of Joshua P. Warren. If Joshua P. Warren vouches for it, then you know it's good stuff. There's a guarantee. There's all sorts of bells and whistles. You're going to go by the website and check it out. SpeakingOfStrange.com. Of course, Speaking of Strange is our website, but you go by SunshineSimple.com as well. School sends parents an awkwardly hilarious letter of complaint after their 10-year-old son invents an imaginary friend called, get this, Wildo the Dildo. A hilarious letter of complaint was sent to the parents about his playground friend, Wildo the Dildo. His 38-year-old dad was in stitches when the note came home in his partner's 10-year-old son's school bag, and the lad and his pals had apparently been called over for a discussion with teachers who overheard the name Wildo the Dildo used during their playtime games. After getting the letter on Tuesday, Paul posted on Twitter with the message, "The funniest thing I've ever read," where it was shared or liked nearly 10,000 times. The software engineer said, "We were already aware of what had happened because he told us about it the previous day." So here is the Wildo the Dildo letter in full. "Although this is not a behavior letter as such, I'm writing to inform you of something that has come to our attention and that you may wish to discuss further with your son. He and a few of his friends often make up characters, give them amusing names, and then they have exciting adventures at playtimes. This in itself is an imaginative and creative pastime and causes no harm. However, it has come to our attention that one of the characters has the name Wildo the Dildo." Say it with me.
Wildo the Dildo.
"And this has, I am sure you can understand, raised some concerns with us. On further discussion, none of the children said they knew what it meant, but were aware that it was an inappropriate word. to be using. One of the children said they picked up the word on the playground, so we'll be following this up further and dealing with accordingly. I hope you can appreciate the reason I'm informing you of this matter, and please do not hesitate to contact me if you wish to discuss it further. I was probably about 10 years old the first time I ever heard that word.
Maybe there's just a kid on the playground named Will, and he's being bullied. And that's what they're hearing. I mean, maybe it's not an invented thing. I don't know. I know that tonight, or like the next time I go to my other job, I am going to call the truckloader Will. He's got a new nickname. So,
hey, Wildo. Oh, my goodness. A 24-hour drive-through McDonald's in Canada has a weird night. Two New Brunswick men have been arrested after allegedly going through a McDonald's drive-through on a couch. The police said they spotted the couch being towed behind an ATV at 3:18 a.m. in the morning at the McDonald's drive-through. And when the officer put his lights on, of course, the ATV took off with the sofa and people still attached. But he left his passengers from the sofa at the drive-thru who fell off. The two passengers from the sofa or the couch or whatever the hell you want to call it were very intoxicated. The driver raced through the parking lot, across the highway, and onto the frozen river, still towing the couch through much of this escape, she said. No sane person drives on a frozen river and around rocks and debris, more or less pulling a couch. Someone along the escape route someone along the escape route, the couch got caught up and pulled off the ATV, and so he got away. But they got the four-wheeler later on that day and seized the four-wheeler, and now they just have to locate the driver. And the two local men will face yet-to-be-determined charges. I'm thinking public intoxication, maybe. He said it's illegal to tow a couch through a drive-thru, but the two men were wearing helmets, so we're not sure what to charge them with, and arrested them pending charges.
Show me on the books where it's illegal.
You cannot pull a couch through
the drive-thru. What about a Barca lounger?
We used to play similar games. Down at a friend's place, he had a field behind his house, and he had four-wheelers, and he took the hood of an old truck and turned it upside down, so it was kind of like a sled, and tied that behind his four-wheeler and would give us rides around on the sled, and there was a rope to hang on to, and we'd put, like, the leather glove on. It was kind of like riding the bull to ride on the four-wheeler sled. It was a lot of fun.
We had a riding mower that we posi-tracked the rear end and had the what would have been the acceleration. It was a cable that you would reach behind, and you would just pull the cable, and it would shoot the front end straight up in the air.
Jeez.
That was pretty cool.
I think this one's going to take us out of here. In Canada, a huge cannabis factory has been uncovered at Legoland, apparently planted by someone sneaking in. Police found 50 chest-high plants being cultivated under heat lamps and an irrigation system in a bungalow at the park in Windsor. But the theme park bosses say the vacant building is inaccessible to the public and appears to have been accessed via the Crown Estate, land belonging to the Queen. And astonished workers discovered the professional setup while looking for asbestos in the derelict accommodation. Officers are currently at the site where cannabis plants and equipment used in the production of cannabis has been located. No arrests have been made, and an investigation is being carried out. How's that for cojones? growing your crop on Legoland.
They're estimating that the crop was approximately 2.3 million Legos.
Oh, thanks for joining us tonight on Speaking of Strange. Tune in again next week.
You are commanded!